Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I tell you, the Holy Spirit is so good to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Would the workers and children, would you stand, and we're going to pray with you before you go. Would you stretch forth your hand towards these? Father, Lord, I just pray for the workers and the children that go, Lord God, to the other building, that your protection would be upon them. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit to rest upon the kids and the children. Father, touch them. Touch them, Lord God. And Father, we lift up Jess and Joey, Lord God. And Father, we pray that your healing power would be upon their lives this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Or dismissed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I tell you, the weather's been nice, huh? Oh, gosh. Very nice. I know. As far as cool and stuff, just, you know, the presence, you know, God is so good to His people. God is so good to His people. Oh, thank you, Lord. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning. And we just pray that something we say or do will touch your heart and touch your life this morning. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church last week. Last Sunday, we picked up $1,222. So we thank you for your faithfulness in giving. And so we pray that God would bless you back and would anoint you and just use what you've given for the glory and the praise and glory of God. Would you please just lift your hands? I want to pray a blessing over you. Thank you for your giving. Father, Lord, I pray a blessing upon these people. As they have given to you today and last week, that the anointing of your Spirit would rest upon them. Father, I pray that you would give them more money to bless the kingdom of God. Father, Lord, to win souls for you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would bless them, use them, and be with them this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness. I appreciate it. And amen. Next, I just want to, I know in your bulletin, I know I've been preaching God's on Wednesday nights, God's prescribed order of victory. After this Wednesday in November, for the next three Wednesdays in November, I'm going to be teaching on prayer, just to divert a little bit from God's prescribed order, and we'll get back to that in December. But I'm going to be teaching a little bit on prayer. And you might say, well, Pastor, why are you doing that? God has really put that on my heart, to fine-tune us with our prayer. Because a lot of times we're praying, and this is the bullseye, and we're hitting way over here, and we're hitting way over there. And there are some things in the Word of God that God says for us to do in our prayer that will help fine-tune us. And I'm going to be teaching on some things a little bit, and then after we do that, we're going to pray for our church, pray for the community, pray for your loved ones that are not saved. And just seeing God move in those areas. So that's going to be the whole month of November on Wednesdays. As far as, I think there's four Wednesdays, but we're only going to do three of them because the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we're not going to have service. So starting not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, in the whole month of November, I'm going to teach some things on prayer that to fine-tune us and to get us on track of where we need to be. Not that we're missing the whole thing, no. But there are some things that I know God is saying, fine-tune it, Joe, fine-tune it. Because you see, when He's saying fine-tune, you know, that's just like on a radio, you know, the old, well, The old radios, not the new ones. You can, and it just, but the old radios, everybody remembers the old ones, Mary, when you're turning and you're trying to get that 90.9 or 90, and when you kind of, God's saying, fine tune it, Joe, fine tune it. And so I want to invite you to come because it's going to be really a time where God's anointing and God's Spirit will touch our hearts and we'll be able to touch His, hopefully, and see some things happen in our own personal lives. So don't forget next Saturday night into Sunday, the time changes. We fall back, so we basically gain an hour. That's pretty good. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. We get an hour extra. So everybody should be early at church. Better not have any late comers next week. That's going to be funny. We're going to say, oh, we know what happened. But that's next week. So it's just a reminder, because I know you're going to hear it on the news and all that. But just a reminder, Saturday night, put your clock back so that you can get to church on time. Amen. Oh, I think that's it for right. Don't forget the the shoe boxes. If you want to do one, that's with Franklin and Billy Graham. As far as the last date to bring them here, I think is November the 17th, that Sunday. And so we'll gather them all and bring it to a church in Jennings, and they will disperse it or get it to where it needs to go. So that's if you'd like to give a box to a boy or a girl with stuff in it so that they'll have it for Christmas. Amen. Praise God. Well, we do want to welcome everyone here this morning. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter... Ella, you doing okay, baby? You doing okay? Oh, look, she's... Her mama's not here, you see? Her mama's not here. She's not feeling well. Hello, Lord. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. As we turn to that scripture, take your Bibles, if you would. Put your finger. I'm going to say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, let me get to it. 1 Peter. It says this, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Here we see God is saying, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Here we see a great scripture in 1 Peter, but it says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have in us. As Christians, because we've given our lives to the Lord, and we've said, Lord, I'm yours. Now, we have to give Him everything. But it says, in giving Him everything, it says, sanctify our hearts, but always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. So that means, or that's telling me, that as Christians, we are the only ones that have hope. We're the only ones that have a hope in us, which we know is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We have hope in our hearts and in our lives. But the Bible says in Peter that we are to always be ready to have an answer or to give an answer to someone, talking about the outside world, that sees that we have hope in us. That as Christians, the world is supposed to look at us and say, you have hope. There's something in you. And we are to be ready to give the answer. Why does it always flip around sometimes that you see? That the Christians are running to the world to hopefully give them some kind of hope. To get through to the next day. You know? That should not be. Because if there are not Christians, God the Father is not their Father. And who is their Father if it's not God? We as Christians have the hope that is in us. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the God of the Bible. We need to know the Holy Spirit. We have the answer. Now you might say, well, Pastor, do you have an answer to everything? Well, we might not know the answer to everything, but I know the book that has the answer to everything. And so we can go to that book and find the answer to help everyone and anyone to give them the hope that they need. You see, God has deposited not just something, but God has deposited His Son in us. That is the hope. He gives hope to a dying world. He gives hope to His people. And so we are to have that hope be given out to everyone that seeks an answer. You know, has anybody ever come to you and said, man, you look so happy? You know, because of the God in us. And we give them the answer, well, it's not just because, you know, you're getting enough sleep and you're eating well and all those things help. You know, yes, you know. But the hope that is in us is Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to give to them. And point them in the right direction. That is nothing that we have done. But it's simply because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. And because we have done that, the Spirit is leashed out upon us and gives us hope. And that hope we have in our hearts and lives, now we can give towards others in helping them in their walk with Christ or bringing them to the knowledge of Christ. Salvation. You know, yesterday I was walking, you know, doing the mail. And, you know, you get to know people, you know, as you deliver their mail every day. Honestly, you get to know them too much sometimes. You know, well, anyway. Well, you know, you always have some customers that will always come out and want their mail in their hand. And that's fine. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Hey, if it saves me a few steps, that's fine, you know. So anyway, they just had somebody come out and I said, hey, how you doing? And I saw kids in the yard and all that stuff and gave them the mail. And I said, sir, how you doing? And he turned to me and he said, this morning, I lost my daughter. And it stunned me. And I said, you lost your daughter? He said, yeah, she died this morning. My heart dropped. My heart dropped because I knew the, well, I can't say I know the pain, but I could feel his pain. Lord, drain it. I could feel his pain. I said, well, what did she die of? He said, well, they're doing an autopsy, but they think it might have been an aneurysm during the night that killed her. And I said, well, how old is your daughter? Where's your daughter? Oh, 37. And he said, all those kids, they had four kids jumping on a trampoline. He said, that's all they're her kids. My heart. I said, sir, I said, I'm so sorry. As I walked away, after talking and whatever with him, as I walked away, my heart hurt for those kids, even for the lady, you know, just whatever. But all day, I just wanted to cry all day. You know, because my heart hurt. Because I said, Lord, where is she today? Did she split heaven wide open? I don't know her. I know where she worked because he told me. And I do deliver mail there, but I can't picture her. I don't know. Or did she split hell wide open? And I tell you, all day I just prayed. I said, God, give me a heart for the lost, Lord. I mean, we go through our daily time, and God wants us to have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost and all those things. But we don't realize every day people are dying. Every day. And I guess I just got so mad because I said, Lord, how populated is hell? Because maybe we've shied away from saying or giving of that hope to them. We said they won't receive it or they won't accept it. People, every day there are people that are dying. And they're going to one place or another. And the only door, there's only one door to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And I know, the devil, he's good. Because he's played with all of our minds saying, well, they won't receive it. This lady's 37. She probably, and I don't know, maybe she is in heaven. I don't know. But I know what's in my heart. It's like I just could cry all day. And I just praying while I was delivering mail and just saying, Lord, move upon our town. Move upon our parish. Move upon our people, Lord God. Move upon the situation. Because salvation needs to come. So that when either Jesus comes or we pass away before He comes, that we would go into heaven and abide with Him forever. Do we realize? There's no Kleenex here. Do we realize? Oh, again. Oh, thank you. Do we realize that once someone passes away, now that's it? As far as where we go? Sometimes we've got into the mode that, well, they won't accept it. But you know what? Lord, open the doors. Open the doors of their hearts, Lord God. You see, God says, yield yourself to me, and He will work on their hearts, praying that God would bring salvation to their houses. Pray that God would bring the salvation knowledge of His Word to an individual. You see, I can't open someone's heart to the knowledge of God. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can and wants to. And He wants to use your mouth to say, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus is the way. That Jesus cares about you. Leading them into salvation. And bringing them towards Him. Or moving them their hearts towards them. We need to be in tune with God. Because I tell you this, Jesus didn't come to die upon the cross so we would have nice buildings, which we all want nice places. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so we would have nice homes. But God wants us to have a nice home. You see, that's the ironic thing of it is. He wants to bless. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so we would have nice clothes. But Jesus loves us and wants us to have nice clothes. Jesus didn't come and die on the cross so that we would have nice vehicles and more than one parked at our homes. But now, He wants us to have nice vehicles. Say, thank you, Lord, Otis. He sells vehicles, yeah. He wants us to be blessed, isn't it? But I tell you what, the primary goal of Jesus coming and dying on the cross was to bring salvation to His people. To bring salvation. To reconcile what? The people back unto Him. And Jesus is the only way. No other way. Not in Scripture. It says nothing about any other way. We have to go through the cross. We have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. And so we need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. My God, to be ready to give that hope. Not to hold it back. Don't hold back from sharing the gospel when God the Holy Spirit opens that door wide open. Walk in that door and share the gospel with people, because that might be their only hope that they'll ever hear. Walk in it, give it out, and share about what God has done. Giving of that hope. People in the world are desperate, are in a desperate need of a Savior. Desperate need of a Savior. In Genesis, it says, in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, talking about Noah, God brought in all the animals. They walked in. All that, two of each kind and some seven of its kind, whatever. And there's reasons for all that. And it says that God called in, and it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. It says, from inside the ark, God called for Noah to come in. That means God was already in it. And they walked in it. We have the call. We have what the world needs. Jesus. We have what it needs. There's no other answer. There's no other answer to depression. There's no other. Jesus. There's no other answer to financial woes. Jesus. There's no other answer for Him to bring our children back home, huh? Jesus. There's no other answer for building that relationship between husband and spouse and reconciling a marriage. Jesus is the answer. So inside that boat, God called, and it says that Noah and his sons and their wives walked in. And when they got into that boat, it says that Jesus closed the door. And after the door was closed, in a span of time, the waters began to rise. The one thing I want you to get is after the door was closed and God closed the door, no one else could get in. Now is the time for grace upon the people. Now is the time for grace upon our lives. Now is the time for grace upon the people's lives. And we have to do whatever it takes according to the Word of God, and make sure it doesn't divert from that, but to win souls for the kingdom of God. Not for the church, not for anything else, but for Him. But for Him to bring glory and honor unto Him. It says that Jesus told His disciples to preach. What did He tell them to preach? In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, and there's other scriptures, it says this, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Go back to verse 15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Jesus said to do. And we can read it in Matthew and we can read it in Luke, you know, scriptures, familiar scriptures with that. Just to, whatever it takes, wherever you are, that's your world. Talk about Jesus. Share about Jesus. You might say, well, the doors are closed. Let me tell you, you start praying and you asking God to open up a door, He'll open up doors for us. He'll open up doors for you and for me to share the gospel, to share Jesus with the people that need Him, that need Him. How many times have we read and how many times have we seen on the news where young people are killing themselves and doing all kinds of things? All kinds of things because they see no way out. But they don't realize what's behind after this world. What's behind that? What's in the future for them? One place or another. So we need to do whatever we can. We need to be conscious of the fact that we are agents of God. He's called us. We received Him as our Lord and Savior. We received Him. He lives in us. The Holy Spirit is in our lives. We are agents of the Holy Spirit to give out about God the Father, to share about Him. And so we, when He chooses us to tell somebody about Him, that we take it as an urgent message, that we take it seriously. You might say, well, who's supposed to share the gospel? Everyone. With who? With whoever you come in contact with. You might say, what if the door doesn't open? You pray and you seek the Lord and you say, Father, open up the door that I can share the gospel. And you name their name. You name their name. And you say, Lord, open up the door that I can share the gospel. Because you see, you're wrestling. You're wrestling to get their soul saved so that when they do pass away or when Jesus comes back for His church, that they will go. Let me tell you, if people can't live for God today, they will not be able to live for God when Jesus comes and the tribulation comes upon the earth. You might say, well, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit will still be here. And He will still try to work in people's lives. And He will still try to do things in people's lives and bring conviction. People will be saved. Yes. But let me tell you, it's going to take an act of God for them to stay saved. And I know God can do it. But when they're going to have to give their lives for the gospel's sake, and they can't give their lives now, what do you think is going to happen? It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. And so we need to share the gospel however we can, but we got to make sure we take care of us too. We got to make sure that we are taking care. We're reading God's Word, getting that deep within us, that we're praying and seeking God, that God's Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, and we're just sharing the gospel. How much we keep saying, Lord, give us more. But you know, a sponge can only take a certain amount of water. And what has to happen, God says, give yourself out and I'll give you more. So what God needs to do with each and every one of us is wring us out. Ooh, that's not easy because we like that water that we're in. We don't like change too much, you know. But God is saying, come on now. There's a work that needs to be done. And I'm telling you, God is raising up churches. God is raising up people to share the gospel with people like never before. Because the time is coming. Jesus is coming. The time is short. I know we've been hearing it for a long time, but I tell you, He's coming. He's coming. Share the gospel. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It says this. This is Jeremiah speaking. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Keep that scripture up. Jeremiah was a very outspoken man. You can read in scriptures and you can read about how he would, you know, go to the leaders of Israel and go to these people and he would just prophesy. I mean, he would just prophetically say, you know, what God put on his heart, and he'd say, thus saith the Lord, and he'd tell them. You can read it in scripture. You can read it. Look it up. But you know what? He got frustrated and he got kind of upset. People were mocking him and saying all kinds of things about him. And he got to the place where he said, that's it. Then I said, not God said, but Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, talking about the Father. And his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He had gotten to the place where he would not, didn't want to do it anymore. But God says there's a fire burning on the inside. There's a fire shut up in our bones. Because you see, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit, not just some evil spirit, not some whatever, God Himself, in the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, comes and abides on the inside of our hearts. And that's what happened with Jeremiah. The fire of God was in him. And yet he got discouraged. And yet he got upset because they weren't listening. They weren't turning from what they were doing. And they kept on their track of doing the same thing over and over again. And he got upset. They were mocking him. They were accusing him and saying all kinds of things against him. But the Holy Spirit knew what needed to happen in Jeremiah's life. And he said, look, there's a fire. The fire of the Word of God that has been shut up in your bones. And you see, the same fire of the Holy Ghost that was in Jeremiah is in us also. The fire of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, as they were praying in one accord, it says the fire of God came upon them and they spoke with other tongues. The fire of God, the power of God, the anointing of God settled upon their lives, settled in their hearts. The fire of God. And look, when we receive God as our Savior and our Lord, it says the fire of God comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. And we can try to shut it up sometimes. We can try to make it, press it down. That it won't come up anymore. But you know what? That's what the devil tries to do. Shut our mouths from speaking forth the Word of God. From speaking forth about the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I tell you what, God spoke to Jeremiah and said, look, there's a fire that's burning in your in the belly or in your bones. Let that fire burn. We need to let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in our hearts and in our lives so that as we speak forth the Word of God, that it brings power and it brings authority and it breaks down the powers of the enemy, and God is praised and God is glorified through the words that we speak. There's a fire on the inside of us. Let that thing out. Let it out. Let it come forth. Share. You look, it'll do wonders for you. When you sit down and somebody says, man, what's going on in your life? And you start to tell them, look, I gave my heart to the Lord. What? And they look at you like, what you did? And you just, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just tell them. Just tell them. Because you know what? On the inside of them, after you start speaking to them, the Holy Spirit comes along and starts to work in their hearts, and they get envious of you. Because they see the peace of God. They've seen where you've come from and what God has done in your heart and in your life. They see how where you were and what has happened. My God, they know it only could be an act of God. The fire that is in your heart, let it come forth. The fire that's in the bones that have been shut up, let it come forth. Stoke that fire. The fan, the flames, let it come forth out of you. You know, Jelaine loves a fire, you know, the fire play, the fire pit. I mean, she's already lit it once or twice, I think, already. That fire has to have attention. You can't just, you know, put some wood and throw a match in there. It won't happen most of the time. I mean, it just takes time. You got to do certain things to it to get that fire going. And then you have to keep adding wood to it. So you have the heat. And you have the embers that are burning and red. Fire. We have to stoke those things on the inside of us. We gotta let the fire of God continuously be poured out of our lives. It's in us. The Spirit of God is in us. You might say, Pastor, what I do? You go to Him. You talk with Him. You love Him. You read His Word. You do all the things that you know you should do. And you let the fire of God just come in and be poured out from your heart and from your life to other Christians and other people. Fan that flame. It takes taking care of. It takes taking care of. We have to take care of the God that lives in us. We have, and I'll say it again, we have to take care of the God that lives in us. Now, I know He's the one that's in control of our hearts and He's in control of our lives, but we got to take care of our outward body towards Him and let Him move in us. Let Him show us things that need to be taken care of personally in our hearts and in our lives. We got to let the fire of the Holy Ghost show us things in us that need to be taken out, but also letting the Holy Spirit put things in. What is God's agenda for your life? You ever thought about that? What is God's? I'm not talking about your agenda. What is God's agenda for your life? What is God's agenda for your life? That changes everything for me personally. When I look and say, Lord, what is your agenda? What do you want? Not what I want. Not for my own selfish needs, Lord. Any of that stuff, because we're all selfish. That's the truth. That's the truth. We laugh, but it's true. We are. You know, yay. Look, we want certain shampoo for our hair. Certain makeup. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong. Please understand, there's nothing wrong with it. But what is God's agenda in the spiritual realm for our lives? I can tell you this. First of all, His agenda is souls. Souls, people. And we need to let the fire of the Holy Ghost that burns within us, letting Him use us to touch this generation for the kingdom of God. You know what? If I go somewheres and I do whatever, you know, as far as trying to bring somebody to the kingdom of God, you know, trying to preach to them or just share about Jesus, if I do it on my own, I know it won't work. I know it. I know it. But how many times that scripture we read, the first scripture we read in 1 Peter, how many times have we let opportunity slip us by? And we could have kicked ourselves more than once. Opportunity. Opportunity to say, hey, Jesus is the answer. I mean, the door just was wide open and we just didn't do it. You just ask forgiveness and say, Lord, give me another opportunity. Father, I don't want to fail you. Because you see, it's the Holy Spirit's job to prepare the hearts people, the people's hearts, to receive the word that we tell them. Because you see, no one else can share about Jesus except people. Angels can't. None of those things, but only people. And so He's given us the responsibility to share the gospel. To share the gospel. And we got to do whatever it takes. Let that burning on the inside of us, the fire of the Holy Ghost, say, Lord, raise it up in me. Lord, help me to think the way you think, Lord God. Help me to see things the way you see things. Lord, help me to do the things you want me to do, Father. Help me to see souls. Help me to see beyond the outside of a person, human being. But Lord, help me to see that soul that needs you, Lord. And you see, that's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. Lord, open it up. See, God is just wanting us to remember why we're here. Is to share the gospel with people. And in the meantime, we can have a good time with His blessings. You know, blessings. Because you know what? It takes money to win souls at times. Because the gospel has to be preached throughout the world. Throughout the world. Oh, almost. In Romans chapter 8, last verse. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. He's saying, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and we know that, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us because we received Him as our Lord and Savior. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in us. Lord, quicken our bodies. Quicken us, Lord. Lord, put a strength in our bodies, Lord. Lord, fine-tune our bodies, Lord. Fine-tune our spiritual bodies, our physical bodies. Just as He's given strength to renew our strength like eagle's wings, Lord. Like the eagles. Lord, renew our strength, Lord God, to get the job done. To get the job done. To get the job done. Don't forget God's agenda. God wants us to have a good time on the earth. We're here to praise Him and honor Him. But don't forget His agenda. And that's souls for the kingdom. That's souls for the kingdom of God. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, Jesus. Father, we thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for today, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for touching the people, Lord God. Oh, Father, we give You praise and worship and honor, Lord. As every head is bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. I don't know everybody's heart here, but I want to give you a chance to know Him. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart to Him today, would you please raise your hand as we will pray with you this morning. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's pray this prayer together because someone did raise their hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again. And I accept You into my heart and into my life. That You will lead me and You will guide me. And You will be with me. I declare You Lord over my life. Your will be done in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember this. The minute you prayed that, God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. My God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Look, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you guys. Angelina and I, we love you. And we thank God for you. Thank you. I mean, would you put that song on, Always, I think it is. As we leave this morning, we'll sing this song and you'll be dismissed. But I want to tell you, I appreciate you guys. I thank God for you and love you. And I pray God's will for your life this week. Amen.